I'm Jonathan Ashong-Lamptey. This is the Resource Group's podcast. Here's what's coming up on today's show. It's generally accepted that there's a very small number of influential scholars and practitioners who have made a meaningful contribution to the field. This is common today and something that I recommend for any new resource group, especially in the absence of any meaningful demographic data. There's just not enough reliable research out there so everybody understands what good looks like. Frankly, this is the type of persistent hard work that takes place without an audience. It takes a lot of knowing what to do, knowing how to do it, and knowing when to do it. I'm Jonathan Ashong-Lamptey, and welcome to the latest episode of the Resource Group's podcast, where it's my job to explore, discuss, and deconstruct ways to help the people within your workplace reach their potential and drive performance through inclusive practices. In simple terms, this means I'll be drawing from a variety of disciplines, trying to connect the dots in terms of best practices, habits, and other important pieces of information that you can apply in your organization. This is the first of a two-part series about employee resource groups and their evolution. In this series, I'm going to focus on how employee resource groups have evolved, and I'm going to do this by looking at some of the most influential publications in the field. I'm talking about the ones that are widely accepted to be essential reading. Now, this isn't just my opinion, but it's the opinion of the people I consider to be leaders in this space. In today's show, I discuss several things, including an influential paper that everyone who's serious about employee resource groups knows about, the four phases that employee resource groups must experience in order to evolve, the reasons why most resource groups don't evolve to reach their potential, and much, much more. If you're finding this for the first time, make sure you check out the show notes to get details of all the reports and all the resources that are discussed in the show by going to resourcegroups.com/podcasts. That's resourcegroups.com/podcasts. That's also where you can get in contact to make any suggestions for the show, recommendations for future episodes, or just to learn more about what we're doing. I look forward to hearing from you and hope you enjoy the show. As a regular listener to the show, you know the value that we place on evidence-based approaches to inclusion in the workplace. One of the things you hear me say frequently on the show is about how little research is out there. And this means that we need more guidance on how to use employee resource groups to help the people within your workplace reach their potential and drive performance. It's generally accepted that there's a very small number of influential scholars and practitioners who have made a meaningful contribution to the field. Today, I'm going to be talking about one of these contributors, Priscilla H. Douglas, and her work on employee resource group evolution. Priscilla H. Douglas is the founder and principal of P.H. Douglas & Associates. It's a consulting firm that helps leaders achieve breakthrough results. The reason I'm telling you about this is because she wrote an influential article called Affinity Groups, Catalyst for Inclusive Organizations. It was published in Employment Relations Today in 2008. Researchers around the world consistently cite this article because it does a good job of outlining the importance of employee resource groups in developing inclusive organizations. It also explores some of the history of employee resource groups. This is why I consider it to be essential reading. Nowadays, you'll see articles, blog posts, and hear speakers talk about things that in 2008 weren't that common. For example, the idea that diversity in hiring practices gives organizations access to a greater pool of talent. The focus on inclusion as a conscious, systematic business strategy. The idea of affinity groups being communities within a corporation that are organized around the employees' similar circumstances. All this and more are discussed in the paper. You'll notice that I said affinity groups and not resource groups. The paper refers to affinity groups, and these tend to be organized around social identity. But given the development of the field, it's accepted and understood that everything I'm about to discuss also applies to what we call employee resource groups. And suppose it doesn't. Suppose I've got it all wrong. And suppose that the author meant for this to be for affinity groups only. Well, now I'm saying, actually, this does apply to employee resource groups. But with that in mind, it's worth noting that the paper was likely to have been conceptualized with a focus on groups based around a shared identity. That said, my intention here is not to provide a comprehensive review of the article, but what I do want to do is look at the concept of evolution discussed in the paper. Specifically, the four phases that the author suggests that all groups must experience in order to evolve. The paper identifies these four phases as awareness, affiliation, access, and advancement. Interestingly, these four phases aren't always experienced in the same sequence, but I think it will be useful to discuss them in the order that they're presented in the paper. The first phase is awareness. Awareness refers to an educational role of the group, not just for the members, but for the organization as a whole. This can be divided into two key areas. The first is a form of fact-finding. This includes basic data collection. The paper called this, quote, simply determining the numbers, meaning that you're trying to determine where the resource group and the organization is in terms of representation. In the paper, the example given is, quote, how many of the group are directors, vice presidents, or senior vice presidents? This is common today and something that I recommend for any new resource group, especially in the absence of any meaningful demographic data. It's important to be careful about this and have clarity about what you're trying to achieve. This is what I meant about identity earlier. A focus on, for example, how many people have disabilities, how many people are LGBT, or how many people have caring responsibilities can mean that it's easy to ignore those who aren't part of that group but share the same interests and values. The second area is about providing education about the group and its interests. This often involves celebrating their diversity during events or festivals such as Black History Month, International Women's Day, or Inclusion Week. The point is that these events are open to all employees and allow members of the entire organization to expand their awareness and understanding of different cultures, lifestyles, and experiences. And this is often the starting point for many groups out there. And I'm not going to talk about this too much because this is something we discuss at great length on the show, especially with our guests. And I'll link to a few episodes in the show notes. The next phase is affiliation. Affiliation, as described in the paper, refers to the community building required for the group to become a visible presence within the company. Now, this includes providing events, networking receptions, and panel discussions. This is not the same as awareness, which is focused on creating an external profile. Affiliation can be considered to be for the benefit of the members. Now, these events allow members to meet people like themselves from across the organization in an informal setting where they can share issues and concerns. The benefit here is that members can have real conversations and are able to make new friendships and business connections. Once again, this is very common and is frequently cited as the primary reason that employees join an employee resource group. The third phase is access. The term access, as used here, refers to how members of the group can acquire access to individuals that can benefit their careers. This means leveraging social networks and benefiting from developmental relationships, such as coaches or mentors. Resource groups are identified as an invaluable networking vehicle. The author even refers to their personal experience to support this claim. And this is an important distinction from affiliation, which talks about relationships within the group. Access clearly points towards developing relationships outside of the group in order to enhance career opportunities. Under this phase, the author talks about something that I personally believe belongs in the next phase, and so I'm going to treat it as such. The fourth and final phase is called advancement. Advancement refers to education and training for career development. This is identified as a challenge for resource groups and their members, and this is where I want to slot in the piece that the author discussed in the previous phase. The previous phase, access, is about generating relationships external to the group. And the author talked about a structured mentoring program that she developed and explained how effective it was. On the other hand, the advancement phase is about resource group members understanding what it takes to succeed. And that's why I think that a mentor program belongs here. This phase was underdeveloped in its explanation, and I understand this. Advancement is probably the one phase that most resource groups fail to achieve because it requires their members to progress in their careers. Frankly, this is the type of persistent hard work that takes place without an audience. It takes a lot of knowing what to do, knowing how to do it, and knowing when to do it. And this varies with each organization and industry. And as I said at the beginning, there's just not enough reliable research out there so everybody understands what good looks like. This paper is influential, and you can see how contemporary research and practice have been influenced by the ideas presented here. But what does this mean for your employee resource group? Well, I believe that each of the four phases are necessary and important for employee resource groups. However, many resource groups fail to move beyond the first couple of phases, awareness and affiliation. And this may be because the other phases require the cooperation of people outside of the group. Now, this means that these resource groups may fail to evolve and in turn fail to reach their potential and influence in the careers of their members. The truth is, evolution means different things to different organizations at different times. It's worth remembering that your resource group, your organization, is on a unique journey. You can look at what others are doing, but whatever it is that you do, it has to be your own. So let's wrap this up. What are the key messages here? One, according to the author, there are four phases required for resource groups to evolve: awareness, affiliation, access, and advancement. Two, most organizations don't move beyond the first two or three phases. And three, these phases are useful and important, but they don't have to be addressed in the sequence described. So what do you think? Has your resource group implemented any of the four phases that I discussed? Do you agree that the phases don't have to be implemented in the order described? Get in touch or leave a comment. I would love to hear from you. To learn more about my work and the resources discussed in the show, check out the show notes by going to resourcegroups.com/podcasts. That's resourcegroups.com/podcasts. If you're finding this for the first time, hit subscribe to make sure you get all the latest updates and access to other episodes of the show. Make sure you sign up to our newsletter to get on the insider list for access to special events and forthcoming opportunities. We're active on social media. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @resourcegroups. On LinkedIn, we have a page called The Resource Groups Company, and we have a slideshow that summarizes everything that we talked about today. If you've learned something from today's show, please share it with one other person that you think may benefit. If you really like the show, please leave us a 5-star review. With your support, we can really take this show to the next level. Thanks for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.